Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Them, Why We Hate Each Other, and How to Heal is a 2018 nonfiction work by Ben Sasse, then a United States Senator from Nebraska, and previously a college president. The book belongs to political and social commentary, but its central argument is deliberately broader than partisan analysis. Sasse contends that American anger is not caused mainly by policy disagreement or election cycles. It grows from loneliness, rootlessness, institutional distrust, and the weakening of local relationships that once gave people identity and support. Drawing on political observation, social science, media criticism, and civic reflection, he presents polarization as a visible symptom of a deeper social disorder. The purpose of the book is diagnostic and practical to explain why many Americans increasingly define themselves against enemies, and to propose a recovery of face-to-face, community, hospitality, responsibility, and rootedness as a path toward healthier public life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, loneliness as the hidden source of public anger. Sasse frames loneliness as the emotional foundation beneath much of America's political hostility. His argument is not that political disputes are imaginary, but that they become more toxic when people lack durable bonds outside politics. In a socially healthy setting, disagreement is moderated by family ties, neighborhood obligations, religious communities, friendships, workplaces, and shared local routines. When those connections weaken, politics can become a substitute arena for belonging. People who feel unseen or unmoored may find identity in a tribe that names an enemy and supplies a sense of moral certainty. The book links this pattern to broader findings about isolation and well-being, emphasizing that human beings are not designed to flourish as detached individuals consuming information alone. Loneliness, therefore, becomes more than a private sadness. It becomes a public force. It lowers trust, sharpens suspicion, and makes contempt feel like connection. This is why Sasse treats social isolation as a civic problem, not merely a therapeutic one. The anger visible in national debates is, in his view, often the external expression of a deeper absence of attachment. Secondly, rootlessness and the thinning of place-based community, a major concern in Them, is the loss of rootedness in actual places. Sasse argues that stable communities give people responsibilities, memories, and obligations that cannot be replaced by national media narratives or online affiliation. Local life historically offered repeated contact with people who were not chosen for ideological similarity neighbors, extended family, school communities, congregations, local volunteers, and small civic institutions. These settings forced patience and made people know one another as whole persons rather than as political categories. The book suggests that modern mobility, economic disruption, suburban isolation, and digital habits have weakened these place-based ties. The result is not simply nostalgia for older forms of community, but a structural problem when people are less anchored in physical communities. They are more vulnerable to abstract forms of belonging. National politics then expands into spaces once occupied by local duty and personal knowledge. Sasse's emphasis on rootedness differentiates the book from commentary that treats polarization mainly as a messaging problem. He sees local attachment as a social infrastructure that forms character, creates trust, and limits the appeal of enemy-centered identity. Thirdly, media incentives that turn contempt into a business model. Sasse gives considerable attention to the media environment because it shapes how citizens perceive one another. His critique is not limited to one ideological side. He argues that modern news, cable commentary, social platforms, and online publishing often reward outrage over understanding. The economic logic of attention favors conflict, moral clarity, and emotional stimulation. Stories that divide people into heroes and villains travel more easily than careful explanations with ambiguity. This creates a market for contempt, where audiences are repeatedly encouraged to view opponents as dangerous, stupid, or malicious. The book's point is not that media alone cause polarization, but that media systems intensify pre-existing loneliness and distrust. When people lack strong local relationships, mediated political identity can become disproportionately powerful. A person may know few actual neighbors deeply while feeling intense familiarity with distant commentators and symbolic enemies. Sasse's analysis is especially focused on the loss of shared informational experiences. As audiences fragment into separate channels and feeds, they no longer argue from a common civic background. The result is not merely disagreement over facts, but disagreement over what kind of people fellow citizens are. Fourthly, politics filling a social and spiritual vacuum. One of the book's central claims is that politics has been asked to do work it cannot do. Sasse argues that public life becomes distorted when citizens expect national politics to provide identity, meaning, belonging, and moral purpose. Democratic politics can resolve some collective questions, but it cannot replace friendship, family responsibility, worship, neighborhood service, or everyday mutual dependence. When these non-political sources of meaning weaken, political conflict becomes existential. Opponents are no longer merely wrong about tax policy, courts, immigration, or cultural questions. They become threats to one's identity and emotional security. This helps explain why public disagreement can feel so personal and unforgiving. Sass's background as a conservative Republican is visible in his concerns, but the book is not structured as a conventional partisan defense. He attempts to explain why different groups feel aggrieved and why both right and left can become trapped in grievance cycles. The implication is that institutional reform and better leaders matter, but they are insufficient. A healthier politics requires citizens whose deepest attachments are not dependent on political combat. Without that, elections become rituals of fear rather than mechanisms of self-government. Lastly, healing through hospitality, service, and recovered local habits, the book's proposed path forward is intentionally modest in scale but radical in implication. Sass does not present healing primarily as a federal program, media reform plan, or new ideological synthesis. He calls for rebuilding ordinary human practices hosting people. Joining local institutions, serving neighbors, mentoring children, visiting the lonely, and spending less emotional energy on national outrage. These practices matter because they restore direct knowledge of others. Hospitality places people in settings where they must listen, share attention, and encounter complexity. Service redirects anxiety away from symbolic enemies toward concrete needs. Local commitment also trains patience, because real relationships involve boredom, inconvenience, and repeated obligations. Sass is especially critical of technologies that allow people to escape discomfort instantly, since durable relationships often deepen through unglamorous presence. His remedy is not anti-technology in a simplistic sense, rather, it asks people to subordinate technology to embody relationships. The practical force of the book lies in the shift from argument to habit. Healing begins not by winning more debates, but by creating lives in which political disagreement is contained within thicker networks of trust, obligation, and shared daily life. In conclusion, Them is best suited for readers who want to understand American polarization without reducing it to party strategy, ideology, or media bias alone. It will appeal to people interested in civic life, social fragmentation, loneliness, media culture, and the weakening of local institutions. Readers looking for a detailed policy blueprint may find the book less satisfying because its strongest contribution is cultural diagnosis rather than legislative design. Its practical benefit is that it translates a national problem into local responsibilities. Spend less attention on outrage, rebuild face-to-face relationships, and treat community as a discipline rather than a sentiment. Intellectually, it encourages readers to see anger as a symptom of unmet social needs and to question why politics has become a primary identity for so many citizens. Compared with many books on polarization, Dem stands out because it does not begin with electoral maps, campaign tactics, or ideological sorting. Its distinctive claim is that hatred grows where loneliness and rootlessness have already hollowed out the social world. That emphasis makes the book less a partisan intervention than a civic and moral argument about belonging. It is most useful for readers willing to examine their own habits of attention, hospitality, and local commitment. If you would like to support Ben Sass, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.